Hey there, Better Leaders. We are back with Chris Mefford, and he dropped absolute dynamite on the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, talking all about creating just winning, amazing cultures. I love this interview that we recently did, and definitely going to audit his book and potentially use that with the mastermind, because I think this guy knows exactly what he's talking about. And his book dives into hiring and firing decisions. And so this bonus content is all about effectively hiring and firing. And so, Chris, can we start there? And what kind of maybe mistakes we should avoid when we're hiring? And how could we avoid hiring duds?
Well, a few things. First off, many people hire too quickly. They'll do one interview, we'll sit in the office, you'll talk for 30 minutes or an hour, or you may talk to them on the phone and then have them in and then make a decision based on that. And that's a really bad way to hire based on the fact that this person may be with you for the next 10 years. And so I like to have at least a series of four or five interviews before I make an ultimate decision on whether I want to bring them on board. And I'm looking for in each of those interviews something specifically different, you know. But ultimately, at the end, I want to see them get more excited about the job every time we talk than frustrated because they don't have it or, you know, their energy wane. Because I'm looking for people who are passionate. People who are passionate will help me change the world. People who are looking for a job won't do that for me.
I know your book has a complete list of best questions to ask in any interview, but could you share one or two of those with the listeners?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think when it comes to interview questions, get complex, make them think. You know, can they think on their feet? Are the questions deep? Do they push in a little bit? Do they make you kind of push past some of the prepared responses and you start to see, you know, deep down what this person is like? You know, one of the questions I love to ask that comes out of the blue is, hey, tell me what the biggest issue today facing our country is and why? And so that the yeah. reason I love that, I call it my pageant question, because it feels like, you know, someone's on a stage and they're in front of an audience and then there's just this crazy kind of wild question. I love that question because it's deep. Like, you can't simply say yes or no or give this, you know, your five strengths kind of answer. You also don't know my political side. And so you can't just say, you know, I think the current president is this or vice versa, because you don't want to offend me. And it's also complex because there are obviously a lot of challenging issues facing our nation. And so I like to see it because, can you think on your feet? How deep can you go when I'm asking you to think on your feet? And that really speaks to, you know, I equate it to kind of like math in high school. People are always like, hey, when am I ever going to use this algebra again? And the reality is, you know, algebra, you know, some of us never use it again. But what happens in algebra is you learn complex thoughts and theories and how to solve problems. And that's what you're really learning oftentimes in those situations, in those classes. And so in this situation, it's the same thing. And so questions like that really, really get to the crux. Like, don't say, hey, tell me what your strengths are. Say, hey, if I ask some of your coworkers what some of the best projects you worked on were and why, and what would they tell me about your personality style? It kind of eliminates the individual and they have to run it through a filter of what others might see through them. And so that question also kind of changes the sort of attitude that the person being interviewed might come in with. And now they have to think again on their feet. And another tactic I like to use is if the person was going to be in a very stressful position, I would try and make the interview a little stressful. I would interrupt them in the middle of their question. I would ask another question before they'd finish that question. You know, and it was sort of a tactic, and I wasn't like rude, but it was, you know, oh, good, interesting. How about this? And so creating this sort of a stressful environment, hey, how did you respond to that? What did that look like? You know, there's some method to this madness that I put out there. But ultimately, you know, on my website, chrismefford.com, you can download my 20 best interview questions you should possibly ever ask for free. Awesome. You just need to give me your email address, but I won't spam you. I rarely send out emails back to you, but you can get that. But, you know, questions that make you think like that. Another question I love to ask is, do you consider yourself lucky? Oftentimes people will say yes, or I consider myself blessed. But what I find is oftentimes when people say, no, I wouldn't consider myself lucky, it's an indicator that they're not very prepared. You know, there's a great quote out there. I can't remember it, but the often luck favors the prepared.
Yeah.
And so people who genuinely feel like they've had a lucky go at life are usually pretty prepared for everything that comes their way. And that gives me another little insight and nugget into the kind of person they are.
I know in the Fuller episode we recorded, we talked about sort of getting people, I guess, not necessarily out of their comfort zone, but into a more authentic space. So you could see who this person really was that you're hiring. And I think doing multiple interviews and some of the things you're talking about there with the interruption, that kind of stuff forces their hand a bit. You know, I studied different types of companies. Southwest is a great example where the legend has it, right, that they'd ask their pilots to put on Bermuda shorts and change from their, you know, world-class suits that they were wearing, because Southwest values this culture where it's fun and you don't take yourself too seriously. And I'm curious, you know, what did you do? You talked a bit about in the interview going out for walks and coffee and that kind of thing. But how did you, get to the authentic individual when you were trying to figure out if you wanted to hire them? What were some of those steps that you took?
Well, I'll tell you, the first step is never fall in love with a candidate on paper or after the first interview. I cannot tell you how many times that happened to me. And then by the second interview, I'm like, who is this person? Like, what's going on here? You're completely different. Like, you don't seem as energetic. You seem lethargic, you know. And I think ultimately when you have a series of interviews, you start to get the real personality comes forward. I had a gal I was going to hire for my assistant. I'll give you two examples, two times. One is, like, there was all something in my spirit that was like, man, I really like her. She's really talented. I can't figure it out. So we finally, I took her out for a coffee with a couple of gals on my team, and we sat there and we just talked. And you know, she opened up and she started talking about this gossip and these things. Like, she really let her guard down. And I remember leaving going, she could never be my assistant. The way she dropped all that information and gossip, like, that's terrible. Like, I need to know that I can trust you. And so I wouldn't have gotten there had I not, you know, worked this process a little bit and got them to feel more comfortable ultimately. And all that saying is, like, you know, I really liked this person on paper. And the first time we met, we really connected. And so I would have made a terrible mistake. Another time I said to my team, hey, I've got this great candidate. She was like magna cum laude. She was from this great university and she had some good experience. And so I said, you know what? I have a crew and I want some of the people I trust on my team to talk to this person as well. So I picked four or five of them and I said, hey, would you mind talking to her and just interviewing her a little bit? And I want to stress, as a leader, you have the final decision, no matter what happens. So you kind of, this is a risk you kind of take if you put it out there. So she had checked every box that I liked in the interview process. And finally, my team came back to me and I said, hey, what did you like? Did you like her? And they said, we hated her. It was unanimous.
Oh, wow.
Unanimous. She's not the right person for the job. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I was a leader. I'm like, well, you guys understand. And I remember I stewed on it for a day. And ultimately, I decided I can't go against the wishes and advice of these people that I really respect. Mm-hmm. And so I walked away.
Yeah.
And you know what I found out? When she was in the lobby, waiting, we had somebody serving her coffee and she didn't know that the lady there serving the coffee was just, you know, wasn't sort of an outside employee. She was part of the team. Yep. And she confessed she was just hoping to get this job so she could leverage into a bigger job at a larger organization.
Wow.
And so ultimately my team had seen right through that. I mean, she never said that to them, but they saw right through it. And me sort of trusting my team in that aspect. So in a couple of situations where they look great, You really need to go and find out exactly what you're going to deal with, which is why having one or two interviews is just not going to do it. Or even having them sit in your office twice is not the best option. And so I love that aspect of just getting to know them slowly. Now, I know sometimes, hey, you're like, hey, we're teachers. Like, we have 60 days to pull this off. And they send us, you know, the board will send us people, or we've got these resumes we need to pull out. How do we do it? Well, and I say to you, you know, it's your job at stake. You know, you have these goals that you need to meet. And if you think they're not important enough to take your time to find the best absolute person for the job, you're ultimately going to get mediocre results if you put mediocre effort into this process. And, you know, that's the lesson I think so many companies and organizations and schools fail to take. They just don't take their time in the hiring process.
Well, and I think we'll end the bonus episode here. Thank you so much for all that value you added for this bonus part. But my challenge and encouragement to the leaders is start earlier. And I think because leading a school can often be chaotic, but that's a result and it's indicative of not having streamlined systems and processes, right, that you have so that the organization runs efficiently. And so then you put off interviewing until you have to interview. Like, you need bodies in the building. the beginning of school is right around the corner, right? And now you're under the gun. So you gotta start earlier and you gotta get your stuff together within the school. So Chris, thanks again for joining me on this little bonus part. And could you tell people again the best place to connect with you?
Yeah, Daniel, I'll do that. Let me put two more points out here. I love to just to throw out is one is looking for talent might just give you a sore neck. So don't look for talent that's not as capable as qualified as you. You want to find somebody that's better than the very best teacher you have in the organization. That's ultimately what you want is to find the very best. And then clones make great sheep, but they don't make great employees, meaning mm-hmm. that don't hire people just like you with your strengths. If you hire people just like you with your strengths, you're going to get more of your weaknesses. So find people who fill gaps. If you're good enough at setting vision and being the director and the leader, then find someone who loves these details and loves to serve and help people. And so kind of fill in you're looking for people who fill the gaps, not necessarily people who are just like you. But yeah, thank you very much. I've loved it. You can find me at chrismefford.com. You can email me at chris@chrismefford.com. And I'd love to help in any way I could.
All right. Thanks again.